Blog Talk Radio.
This is a journey.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You're rocking in Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I'm your host with the most, Coach Lee, here on the show. Hey, if you want to check it out, if you listen in live, if you listen in the chat room, that's all good. If you want to call in, you can always reach us at 347-826-7278. Once again, 347-826-7278. You got something to say? Hey, my producer will put you in. All you got to do is hit the one button when you call in. If you want to talk, we'll just chop you in. No big deal. Hey, it's a great week again. Again, it's another great Monday. Yes, there's Monday Night Football on. I think it's Pittsburgh and Denver Broncos. Don't know what the score is. I'll find out when I get to the pad and see what happens. You know. But anyway, hey, I'm here to talk women's football with you. I'm here to talk about women's football, and that's what we do here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. But before we get started, we always get our sponsors in. So, you know, Pick Enterprise. Why? Because it'll pick you up. And you know I always got to do my Adidas song because that's like my theme. That's like my anthem. So, you know, check it out. Adidas. Rough. Oh, yeah, that's my Adidas. Everybody's always calling. I got a couple emails saying, Coach Lee, why you play the Adidas by Run-DMC? Because they're sponsored, yo. That's what I tell them. They're sponsored. Give them their plug. Give them their just do. And get that tone and that beat in your head. And next thing you know, you buying Adidas. You know, we buying Adidas. We all need to buy Adidas. Why? Because they support women's football. They support women's sports. I say it once again. They are supporting women's sports. You need to go out and support them. But anyway, yeah, that's just some of the emails that I get here and there about the show. Some people listening live, some people listening in the on their own phone or on their computer live, or they pick it up later on at work. You know, when they're bored, they jump in and listen to Coach Lee just ramble and talk and put it out there like he does. But anyway, we're going to start this ball game off like we always do it. We got to kick the ball off. How can Coach, you always kicking the ball off? Because that's just how a football game starts. you know, so the sound of the ball goes, and it's another deep kick, you know, four quarters with Coach Lee. Hey, topics for tonight, you know what I'm saying, topics for tonight, off-season workouts and tryouts, the level of ball now and then was another topic that was sent to me. I had some viewers who wanted to talk about, could the current champs of today beat the past champs? I guess the past champs back in the day. And we talk about that as well as we talk about the Women's Football Camp and Conference. If I get a chance, I'll jump on the Ning board to see what's the hot topic for the week. And, you know, we always got 5 minutes, five-minute drive. But you know what? We haven't had to use a five-minute drive because we haven't had no callers call in during a five-minute drive. But you can call in anytime. Anytime you like to talk to Coach Lee on any topic that we're talking about, or if you got something to add, then add it. 347-826-7278. And we're going to start this first quarter, and we're going to talk about off-season workouts and tryouts. I think I touched on this in the prior show shortly after the season. I want to say either week two or three after the season's over, you know, what are you guys doing to get prepared for the next year, even though the season just ended for, you know, the championship teams. But for 90% of us who didn't make the playoffs, season was over with in June. So somewhere in August, definitely September, people should have been getting together. How I look at it and how I see it and how I hear it is that this is the most active off-season I've seen in my 5 years of being in women's football. You tend to see teams that have tryouts earlier now. You tend to have teams that are having a legit off-season workout regimen and not just getting together in January and calling it off-season workouts. I know for a fact that we started up the first weekend of September and finishing up our 10-week football 101 classes, predominantly with rookies. We got about 24 to 28 new rookies out there learning the game of football, all aspects from the line to the D-line, from linebackers to running backs, from DBs to wide receivers. We really haven't touched up on the quarterbacks yet. We'll get to that over the next 2 or 3 weeks before we finish up. For those lucky ladies who want to play quarterback, we give them the opportunity. But again, we use it to teach the ladies every aspect of the game and understanding that, you know, being an offensive lineman is a lot harder than what it appears to be. You just don't block. You know, you have some kind of concept and some kind of theory on how things work and how plays are called. So I know that's what we're doing with the Showgirls. I know for sure that the LA Amazons have had a couple of tryouts. I know that the California Quake have had some football 101 sessions. I know that the Pacific Warriors have had some tryouts. I know that the new San Diego Steam team had tryouts this past weekend. I haven't got the word yet on how that went. But yeah, as I look on the board, there's more and more teams. And I might be a little biased on the West Coast because, you know, that's where I'm at. That's what I can see. I know that the weather pretty much dictates that we can do football all year round. For those who live in the snowy areas or the rainy areas or the hurricane or the typhoon areas, they might not be able to do the football thing right now. And it's all understood. It's all about weather, able to take care of those things. But anyway, yeah, as I go through the meeting board, I'm looking at the Houston Power have had meetings and tryouts. The Dallas Diamonds have had a few tryouts. And the list goes on and on and on. And like I said, this has to be the most active off-season program. Because I think, you know, people are really starting to take what they do as women's football coaches and women's football players and women's football owners serious, because again, it's our product and we have to take it serious, and if we don't, then who will? So in order for us to have a good product, we are making football a 12-month venture now, and I think that's great. I think that's a great move on everyone's behalf. I think if you're starting up and just having meetings starting in January and tryouts in February, I don't think team is going to be mended and molded as well as those who start off early. You know, and the funny thing is that, you know, people say, well, why do you start so early? You know, it don't mean anything. It means a lot, you know. You know, we have a deal with Fitness for 10, which is a gym here in Vegas, a franchise gym. And we get to work out every Tuesday night, full-fledged, about an hour and 45-minute workout. What we do what we call circuit training, where we work on the full body, not necessarily getting buff, you know, but we're doing lots of reps, light weights, lots of reps, get in shape to get in shape. And then we'll hit their weights a little bit heavier starting right after Christmas and New Year's, hit the weights for about 6 to 8 weeks of heavy weights shortly before the season, and hopefully that will be able to carry over through the season as we go and work out once a week. But again, you know, hey, we're taking it serious. I think a lot of people are taking it serious, and I think we're going to be excited this season on the improvement of women's football based on these early preparations. Again, it's not just for rookies. It's for veterans as well. Again, I'm a firm believer of, you know, fundamentals, and this is where you teach fundamentals. You teach how to tackle, even though you don't use each other's tackle. You use dummies, you use sleds, you use ropes. You do everything you can to do a fundamentally sound off-season program. I have a best friend at the park that we work out. His name is The Hill. It's about a 30-degree slope on the hill. And we do a lot of work on the hill, running to drills, to frog jumps, to power skips, to what else? Backpedaling, running sideways, sliding, turning our hips. We even do tackling on the hill, using the bag and hitting the bag and driving up the hill. So those are some things that we implemented, and I love The Hill. Mr. Hill is the greatest. And I've seen a couple other pictures of people's workouts on their websites, which is great. Again, firm believer of fundamentals, which, you know, of course, leads us always to the Women's Football Camp Conference all the time. You know that. Because that's what it's all about, the fundamentals of football, teaching you, you know, to be a good defensive lineman, getting a good stance, giving you a couple of insights and tips on different moves, spin moves, swim moves, rip moves, you know, the wax on, wax off moves. But those are things that will be taking place there. So, again, I'm really hoping that your coaches are really putting forth that effort in teaching you all those wonderful things of being a great football player, and then you're able to go home and watch it and then come back and apply it. You know, that's why I love the fact that we play during the springtime, because there's so much football on during the fall that if you're playing the game, you know, during the fall, it's not many opportunities to be able to see football because you're doing football yourself. So I know definitely I use an early morning workout where we're done by 11, and I encourage the girls to go home and go see what they just learned, how it's being applied on the football field, be it college football, be it pro football. But a lot of girls hit me back on emails, and they understand what we just did. Somebody saw a move here and there. And, again, it's the best way to communicate with the players and allowing them to see those videos. If just in case you don't have appropriate equipment, you know, such as training videos or professional football players' practices or college practices, I got a lot of clips from different coaches that have sent me. So, again, I'm able to use them if we're not able to see football. I haven't updated my system yet at home. I'm still stuck on the VCR days, which shame on me. But, you know, ever since satellite TV came out, I guess 14 years ago, I have not recorded anything because my VCRs don't record off the satellite, the digital feed. I don't know why, but it's like that, and that's the way it is. But, yeah, so I get DVDs sent to me. I like to share, you know, any coach out there who's willing to send some game film or slice it up on, you know, on whatever teaching mechanisms that you use, definitely I'm willing to exchange with you. Just give me a drop me an email at womenstacklefootballcamp@yahoo.com. You can hit me at Las Vegas Showgirls with a Z at the end at yahoo.com, or you can always reach me at 702-764-8878. Again, I'm always willing to exchange my film, your film, one for two, two for one, all that good stuff. Still speaking on, you know, off-season tryouts and workouts. Another question I've gotten on the email, Coach Lee, during the off-season, do your girls go through your playbook? And I'm going to say no. I don't put my playbook out to my team at this point in time. I teach the concepts and ideas, but no, I don't give them the full, you know, 85-page offensive playbook, nor do I give them the defensive playbook. But do I teach it? Yes, I do. I want to see what the mental capacity of the players are, because, again, you got to learn on the fly. So if you're teaching the basic formation, be it a pro set, be it an I set, be it a trips, be it doubles, ace, you do that. You know, you teach those things, and that's part of our package. We go five wide, four wide, ace backs, no backs, you name it, backs. We do it all, you know. So I'm always telling my girls to watch University of Texas, University of Florida, West Virginia, University of Houston, University of Nevada, Reno, because they run the pistol. I like running out of that formation. And I liked what Tulsa did this weekend against Houston. And I picked up a few things that I can institute into our playbook. So our playbook is forever growing. I know that the very first year, we kept it real simple. We probably had about 15 plays, 16 plays, 10 runs, and probably about 6 pass plays. We just kept it real simple, kept us in the game, and just concentrated on defense. We put our best athletes on defense. As far as defense is concerned, you know, I put out the basic look, a basic front package, you know, and our covers cover 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we've been working hard on, again, drops, working on zone coverage, because I think that's the hardest part of coaching football, especially for those who don't have experience in understanding what a zone is as far as coverage is concerned. It's easy to play man-to-man because when you play soccer, you tend to have a man. When you play basketball, you tend to play man-to-man. But zone defense is probably the hardest defense to teach. Well, not necessarily to teach, but to pass on so that they can understand that, you know, once somebody in your zone, yes, they are your man until you push them onto the other zone, to somebody else's zone. And communication is key. We definitely yell across to each other because football is all about communication, especially on defense. You know, recognizing the strong side, recognizing the formation, down and distance, and those things. So, again, during our off-season trainings and workouts, that's what we're working on. Again, we want to be sound when it comes to January when we start up. We want to be totally sound. You know, just like I said, our team will be starting our mini camp in January. We'll start pads in February. And like I said, we're looking for 3 preseason games to apply all those things that we've learned over the off season and during that mini camp, and then applying those in preseason games. Again, we have 3 preseason games that are lined up March 13th, 20th, and 27th. Not quite sure when our season starts, but I'm thinking about probably the second week of April our season will probably start, and likely most seasons will start in mid-April. But, again, it's all about timing. It's all about organizing and making sure you're pacing yourself. You know, you got to pace yourself, pace yourself, pace yourself. Good coaching staff will pace themselves. I know some of my veterans are anxious. They want to start wearing the helmet already. I'm like, you know, you can work out in your helmet. It's no big deal. But we're not going to do any drills that would command you to wear your helmet. But, you know, again, that's just the emptiness of players who want to hold on 1 second. Yeah, antsiness of players who want to get out there and just do a little bit more than what they have to do. But, you know, again, the teams on the West Coast that I know of, again, are getting their workout on. I know they're getting their tryouts on. Again, I'll follow up that this is probably the most active offseason in the 5 years that I've been involved in football for women. And like I said, I think it's going to be some great surprises. I think there's going to be some great improvement from teams across the nation based on the fact that now they're starting to take the game serious. You know, we're just not, you know, couch potatoes who think we can just come on out and go play some ball. You know, if you're a vet, you need to get out there and show these rooks what it's all about. If you're a rook, hey, you need to wear these veterans out. You know, that's the mentality. Push each other to the limit so you can get better. With that, I'm going to end quarter number one. Like I said, you know what? I start talking and time just go by so fast here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. If you got any questions, concerns, or just want to jump on in, hey, give me a call, 347-826-7278. I'm here with you each and every Monday here on Blog Talk Radio. Continues. What else? Hey, I just do it like that. So while I do it, I want you to listen in to you know who, you know what, you know what product to wear, so get it done. Oh, yeah, my Adidas, yo. That's what I'm talking about, my Adidas. I love, matter of fact, I got some fresh new Adidas on my feet. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, I gotta walk the talk. I got to walk the talk. I got to talk the talk and walk the walk. If I'm going to be flaunting Adidas here on the show before I close the coast late, then I got to be sporting the Adidas on the feet. I got to be sporting an Adidas little jacket because, you know, it's a little chilly here out in the desert right now. But you know what? I do it. I got to do it. And, you know, hey, when I leave town or want to drive to L.A. or fly to Atlanta and rent a car, guess who I'm renting? Enterprise. Why? Because they're sponsoring this show. They're sponsoring the camping conference. So, hey, you know what? You got to use it. And I'm going to keep pushing it. Use your sponsors. Attach yourself onto other people's sponsors. Become a buyer of that product so that we can show the buying power that we have in this small niche market of women's football. But anyway, hey, we're going to move on. You know how I do it. We're going to move on to quarter number two. Like I said earlier, you know, I get emails quite often. And I got a couple emails regarding the level of play. You know, do you think that the champions from 10 years ago will be able to play ball and be competitive against the teams of this day and age? And I'm going to have to say no. I really feel in my heart that the teams from 10 years ago could not compete with the top-level teams of today. I think the players have gotten a lot smarter. The players have gotten a lot faster. The players may have even gotten a little bit younger. And I know for sure the players are more athletic than some of the films that I've seen, you know, from 10 years ago. Not to say that they weren't good, it wasn't good athletes back then, or it wasn't good ball. I just think the level of women's football has elevated. And when I say that, I'm a fan. Look at the teams that are airing the ball out now. I mean, I can go 10 years ago, and you might be lucky to see 2 to 5 passes a game with some of those teams. You know, they ran the big power offense, you know, big line, big running backs, you know, three yards in a cloud of dust offense, as I call it. You know, not to disrespect nobody, but, you know, the films that I've seen from those championship games was really slow to me. I really think that the level of ball has really picked up. Good example is you got the KC Tribe, who don't even go in huddles. You know, they have a great system over there with Coach Ed, and it showed this season by them winning the championship. Putting the ball in the air is taking women's football to the next level. What other teams pass the ball quite often? I know that we put the ball up at least 28 to 32 times a game, which is fairly a lot, and we complete around about 58%. I'd like to definitely see that improve to about 65%. And I know that the prior California Lynx were also a passing team as well with Meg Vickers. I think she's probably one of the best football quarterbacks I've ever seen. Strong arm, she's tall, she's fast, she's tough. I think she was Rookie of the Year, WFA Rookie of the Year. But I've never seen no other quarterback in any league on any team as good as Meg Vickers. I have not seen the film on McGrill from the Tribe yet, but I know she passed for 3,000 yards. So she got to be good to pass for 3,000 yards. I'll tell you that. I mean, you know, that's some great stuff. And those are things that women's football should be pounding the media about, you know. You know, it's not unusual to see a running back rush for 200, 250 yards, but for a quarterback to average over 300 yards a game, I mean, they don't even do that in NFL or college or high school. But that's saying a lot. It's definitely saying a lot. And that's why I think that the teams of this day and age bring a complete package in comparison to 10 years ago. How I fell in love with football, I've seen the Dallas Diamonds play the Northern Ice. I seen Hugh Ragsdale rush for 200-some yards, you know, broke off like a 60-yard touchdown. And I was like, man, I'm up in the stands like, man, I didn't know ladies would like that. You know, I first laughed when I heard about women's football from a player that played for the L.A. Amazons. And she wanted me to sponsor her to play on the football team. I just laughed. I was like, ha, 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 yeah, right, women play football, you know. But it wasn't until I was introduced about 9 months later when I went to the championship game that I actually fell in love with the game of women's football. The passion that I see and the effort that is given to those or from those who have not grown up playing the game, who are fans of the game and now are playing the game. But now it's our job to take it to the next level. And I really think that the teams in the heyday wouldn't be able to do as much as they did back then. I think the Dallas Diamonds will be a good example of a team that was that is in transition right now. They have a dynasty, but you know, as that core group starts to dwindle and move on, the replacement parts have been there and they're still improving, which is great. But I don't think that a 2002 team or 2000 team could compete with a 2010 team. I don't care if they're rookies or whatever. You know, the fact is, over time, the game evolves. And if you look at football in its day, you know, with the simplicity of offense, the running the ball, you know, linemen weighing 185 pounds, there's no way in this day and age could NFL teams from the 30s even compete against the teams of today. I don't care if it's the Detroit Lions or Tampa Bay Buccaneers will beat the championship teams of the 40s and 50s and possibly the 60s. You know, the players are just bigger and faster. And I really see women's football going that way as well, getting bigger, faster, and stronger, especially with the off-season workouts. Again, everything coordinates and correlates, you know what I'm saying? Off-season workouts puts in speed and strength and apply it on the field. How much room do we have to grow? We got plenty of room to grow. I don't think that we've been as creative as we possibly can in getting the balls in the best athletes' hands or even recruiting the best athletes out there. I know I pound the streets at the basketball gyms. I pound the streets at the co-ed volleyball, beach volleyball, sand volleyball. I pound the streaks at the co-ed softball. There's many athletes that finish and complete high school or complete college and are into their profession but still want to compete. And I really think it's your job as a coach and your job as an owner of a team to really put forth the effort. You know. You got to really put forth that effort in getting those athletes on the field. So, again, I really think that the players are better athletes now. I think that women hit a lot harder, but they hit harder. And I think the techniques and skills that they've attained over the last 5 or 6 years have definitely elevated the game. You know, I know that there's some teams that let the quarterback audible. I know that some people run no-huddle offense. I know some people that use a zone blitzing defense, a la me. I mean, we do a lot of different things. Keep it simple, but we still give you different looks. And I know I've been talking to a few of the coaches that I played against, and we always talked on the phone about, you know, how did you know about this? How did you do that? You know, again, that's what football is all about. It's about sharing. It's about, you know, preparing, especially against teams that you don't play that often. So, you know, with the Clam, I sat down and talked to their coach for about an hour and a half. You know, what was your game planning? You know, what was predictable about what we do? What was difficult about, you know, us? What did you have to stop? You know, those are the questions that coaches want to know, win or lose. Because, again, it's a growing process, and it's a play-calling process. It's all that. And I think the level of coaching has gotten better. Do we have room to improve? Oh, yeah. Got plenty of room to improve. And I think it's up to the owners to get out there and really recruit some great teachers, not just because they said they're a coach, but I think we really need to get some more great teachers of the game. And I know that, you know, again, I talked to quite a few coaches out there, and they are great teachers of the game, and that's why their teams are so competitive. I find out that when I talk to the coaches of the teams that have not done well in their stats or in their record, it's because the coaches are not good teachers. You know, I'm going to give you a good example, a personal example of mine. I played football in college and was coached by George Allen, the legendary coach George Allen. He was my head coach his last year of life, basically. And also, I was a DB, so I was coached by Hall of Fame Willie Brown. And when he came to the team, I just knew I was going to learn all this great stuff because he was a Hall of Famer. Didn't realize that he wasn't a great teacher. And me and Coach Brown are good friends, so he knows that I'll tell him this in his face. I told him before. So I even got in trouble doing this, but I'm just giving you this story real quick. Okay? The bottom line is I thought that because he was a Hall of Fame football player that he would be able to teach me all those skills. But he was a great athlete for his time and his period. He was 6'2", 225-pound corner who invented the bump and run. Because wide receivers back in the day were in three-point stands, so it was like you should do bump and run. But he couldn't teach you how to be a great bump and run person. He just said, well, this is what I used to do, and that was it. But he couldn't teach you from the skills that you had. And so actually me and Coach Brown got into it. I went into a meeting one time, and believe it or not, I was singing my Public Enemy song, and I kind of blurred his name on 911's The Joke song, and I said, Willie Brown's a joke. And what wound up happening after that, I went from being a defensive back to being wide receiver the next day. So my mouth got me in trouble. But then I wound up being a great wide receiver as well. So, you know, hey, thank you, Willie Brown. But what I'm trying to say is just because you play football don't mean you can teach football is what I'm getting at. Look at all the great coaches out there. They're not they weren't the best football players or the best basketball players. Most of the best coaches never played the sport at a high level. They went to teach. I mean, they went to learn how to play the game. You know, some of your best coaches were second string and third string quarterbacks in college or in the pros. You know, they don't have that firsthand experience. You know, again, just because you play the game don't mean you can coach the game. Now, I respect you if, you know, hey, if you can do that, that's great. But also, because you haven't played the game, don't mean you can coach it or understand the game either. So you got to have the best of both worlds to be a great teaching slash coach. You know, you get a lot of respect from the players if you play the game. And that's one thing that you have to get is the respect of the players. Being with women's football, you know, and again, I'm still tied into the topic of the level of the game. You know, when 10 years ago, teams were just getting any coach that said they can coach football to come out there because the players didn't know how to play the game of football or at least coach the game or know the skills, the basic skills of the game. They just play Turkey Thursday football with the family in the backyard or play football on the street. Some play Pop Warner football, but that was so long ago. So, again, tying it in, level of ball, yeah, I think the coaches have gotten a lot better and evolved and elevated the game. I think the players have elevated the game. And, you know, I just don't think that teams from 10 years ago can compete with the teams of today. There's at least 15 teams that can beat the champions of 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. 2004, hey, you had a powerhouse team that ran a lot of power. You know, I'm just speaking of the Dallas Diamonds because that's what I know. You know, but again, you take one or two players off that team, then they're just the average team. I know that teams are starting to build teams, a team concept, and not build around a particular person. I know that I experimented with that this past season, being that my starting running back wound up going off to college. Dina Hauser, who had rushed 1,250 yards the year prior, and we kind of built the offense around her. But once she left, you know, we built the offense around our athletes, you know, from our quarterbacks to our wide receivers. You know, one of the weak links that we had were definitely, you know, I think in women's football, if you're consistent up front, meaning if you got a consistent group of linemen that continue to work together and come back, you're going to be pretty dominating. But I know for sure for the last five seasons, not one back-to-back game did I have the same starting lineup for the offensive line. I know that for a fact. So I played, what, 30-something games and never had a back-to-back game where the same offensive line started. You know, injuries, the ladies couldn't make it to the game, somebody missed the bus, somebody was on punishment, whatever. You know, but those teams that have a consistent line that's at practice and that are doing their thing will be good. And that's one thing that I can say about some of the teams that have ran back-to-back champions. It's that good core has come back, but the majority of that core have been the linemen. Because you can replace a wide receiver. You can replace a running back. But it's hard replacing the linemen. You know, just the mentality of the women that have to play the game. So that's one thing that I know that the dynasty teams of the past, the Detroit Demolitions, who were rebuilding, the Dallas Diamonds, who are back to rebuilding, you know, they kept that core alignment together. So those teams would be able to compete against the athletic teams of today, but I still have to put my money on the current teams of today. So, you know, like I said, hey, I talk the talk, I walk the walk. You know, I put it out there. If you got any questions or concerns about, hey, do you think the teams of the past, you know, I forgot to throw out the Sacramento Sirens. They ran, they did a three-peat back in the day. And they ran an old-style offense. I'm not a big fan of it, but I do understand. You play for what you have. And I think they ran the table for 3 years in a row. But as soon as that core offensive line left, I know they've been rebuilding ever since. And, again, that is the key, is keeping the core linemen together and replacing here and there when needed. So, anyway, I did a little shout-out to the three teams that, you know, who I thought were dynasty teams. Again, Sacramento Sirens, the Dallas Diamonds, and Detroit Demolition with the scattered, you know, Atlanta Explosion, the SoCal Scorpions for 1 year, Houston Energy, again, you know, those teams have repeated, But again, those teams today will have a little bit more difficulties manhandling the season with the level of competition. So with that, yo, I am going to jump off. I am going to jump off and get into this little quick commercial break, and then we'll move on to the women's football camp and conference updates. We'll let you know what's going on, what's going down. So give me 1 minute, and we're rolling. Oh, yeah, my Adidas, your Adidas, we all should be rocking Adidas. You rocking your fourth quarter with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio continues each and every Monday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. What's that, Pacific Standard Time? Yeah. So, again, you know, hey, when you get a chance, you know, you can always listen in on the iPod, not iPod, what I want to call it. See, I can't even get in the chat room, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. But the fact is, you can hear it on the archives here on Blog Talk Radio Continues. It also shows up on the Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com board down at the bottom. Each and every show is highlighted at the bottom of that page. You can listen in. You can go back to the archives. Hey, like I said, I do this because I love this, and I want to do this because I want you to hear this so that we can get better, the product can be better, and everybody's better. And, you know, hey, we'll move forward. But anyway, let's move on. You know, we just broke the halftime situation. And let's get into the camp and conference real quick. Camp and conference is going to be off the hook. It's going to be off the chain, and it is not too late to sign up. Yes, there is an extra fee due to the fact that you took your time in signing up. The cutoff date was November 1st. But by popular demand, we do have people who wanted to sign up. They're waiting on Thanksgiving to get around their family and friends to help them get to the camp and conference on January 7th through the 10th. You know, some say they were using it to get as a Christmas present. So, hey, you can still go to womensfootballcamp.com and register for the Women's Football Camp and Conference. It's a $175 right now. It was supposed to go up to $225, but I wanted to talk to the group and saying, hey, you know what, let's not deter from those who really want to come, who just didn't have the funds for the last, you know, 2.5 months. But it will be $225 at the door if you do not sign up by January 6th. No, you got to January 5th to sign up. If you don't get it done then, hey, $225 at the door. I'm also working on ways to download the video that we'll be putting up. And, of course, it ain't going to be free. You know, why put it up there for free if people are coming to pay for the camp? I mean, it's some great information. But we're going to be, I'm working on a company right now that is going to film the conference, and then you'll be able to go and download, you know, or be able to view. It'll be a pay-per-view. There we go. Pay-per-view of some of the speakers and some of the coaches and some of the techniques that were taught at the camp and conference. Again, it's a way to get the word out to everybody. I know funds are low for a lot of folks. I know funds are hard to come by, and you know, just taking the whole weekend off of work is kind of impossible. So we can set it up on the internet. We're working on doing that. That is another aspect of this camp and conference that we will be doing. I'm trying to get this other thing pulled up real quick. I think this is it right here. So yeah, the camp and conference is going on January 7th through the 10th, 2010. The question has come up, Coach, is the conference at the same location as the camp? Yes, it is. Okay, the camp and conference will be on the campus of UNLV. We'll be using the sports facilities there on the campus of UNLV, which is about 3 minutes away from the airport. The Comfort Inn Hotel is right across the street from the playing fields. And right across the street from that is the Hard Rock Hotel. So you get your Vegas in Vegas whenever you want to get your Vegas on, in between the camp, you know, at night, whatever, whatever. It's all available. So again, it's all walking distance. Everything is right across the street from each other. We made it a lot more convenient, and that was some of the things that we learned about from last year, being putting this on in Vegas. Yeah, we got plenty of hotels, but we just don't have venues close to those hotels. There's no high school near the strip at all, within 5 miles of the strip. So it's kind of hard to, you know, do that. So what we had to do is get UNLV campus, and that's what we did. We'll be using the football fields. We have 3 football fields available. We have 6 goalposts out there. We'll be using pads and ropes and all that other good stuff that they use for normal football practices. But, yeah, that's going to be taken there. The other question was, what about the Rio Hotel? Well, the Rio Hotel is where all the guests will be staying as far as the speakers and coaches. That's where we'll be putting them up at, and they will have transportation based on our rental vans that we will have, and we'll be transporting back and forth. And that's about 2 miles away from UNLV. It's just a upper echelon room, basically, is what I want to get at, you know. My whole thing is when I go to a hotel, you know, once you close your eyes, they all look the same to me anyway. But anyway, I wanted to do a first-class operation and put the camp and conference vendors and coaches and owners over at the Rio because, again, that's just a great place to mingle. And plus, the Hard Rock was $240 a night, so I didn't think that was within anybody's budget at $240 a night. That don't make any sense, but guess what? It happens here in Vegas. What else is going on with the camp and conference? As of this weekend, I was able to get India Lee, and her last name is L-E-I-G-H, to come and be a guest speaker regarding merchandising. Again, I'll be updating the website on the 15th of this month. Everything that we updated on the 15th will be as confirmed as ran, everything. It will be full-fledged what's going to take place at the camp and conference. Some subjects might change, but we got it together. We got it together, and it's looking good. I'm just waiting on three more confirmations on our kicking coach and then also the WNBA marketing folks. So, again, this is going to be a sweet camp. I know the coaches are excited. I'm getting emails every day from the coaches that are participating and ready to teach you ladies who are coming to the camp. I got some dynamite guest speakers for the management staff that is coming out. You know, that's one thing I am proud about, that management has stepped up their game and realized that they don't know everything, and it's an opportunity for them to get a lot of knowledge. We got, you know, speakers that will be doing some one-on-ones. You know, to be able to sit down with somebody who looks at hundreds of sponsorship packets each and every day for major corporations, you know, my thing is bring your sponsorship packet with you. Have them look it over. I mean, if you're going to get that one-on-one time, bring your marketing packet, you know, bring your press releases, bring everything that you need help on, you know, because that's what the CAMI conference is all about, you know. Again, they're going to be giving out their business cards. They're going to be giving out email addresses so you can contact them directly. You know, you got to get out and network. You know, that's what this is all about. It's about networking. You know, I'm going to bring in my network of people, and I go out and reach out and grab other people and then bring them into this networking circle because it's our job and my job to help you, and that's what it's all about. You know, it's about definitely promoting the game. It's about getting the product great on the field. It's about, you know, promoting the actual game itself and getting butts in the seats. I think I remember there was a quote on the Ning board talking about why do we always compare ourselves to the NFL, and I think that's true. I think we need to just compare ourselves against ourselves. You know, we're women's football, and we need to set the bar and not let the so-called NFL and college football set the bar for us. Until we start putting butts in the seats, we need to have lofty goals that we can accomplish. You know, are we going to get 60,000 people to a championship game? I don't think so. You know, we're hard pressed to get 1,500 to a championship game. So again, I really like the last the Ning Board message, and you know what? I'm gonna stop comparing to the NFL. You know, in college football, I think we just need to do what we do the best that we can do to make women's football great. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about with the camp and conference. You know, we're going to bring all the wonderful tools there. It's your job to sharpen your tools. So bring your stuff. You know, again, you got the executive director of the Las Vegas Bowl, Tina Murphy, there, you know, who works at ESPN. Pick her brain, you know. You got you First Marketing coming on board. They're going to be talking about branding. They're going to talk about marketing. You got David Ross, whose job is to get sponsorship for major events. And he's going to tell you how to get them, and he's based out of D.C. Also, we got Lynn Corman with Corman Consulting. She's the one who said that, hey, Deion, tell them to bring the stuff. I want to, you know, look over it, you know. If they can, you know, bring it, I'll go over it and give them some analysis of what needs to be changed on there, or how to get the eye of those who read those sponsorship packets. Everybody's in the same boat. We don't have the sponsors that we should because we don't have the right packet to send to these people. You know, even my packets got redlined. You know, I felt bad. I was like, man, I thought I was doing good. You know, and I get some good sponsors. But when I came back and had those red marks on my thing, I'm like, man, I thought I was back in college again. You know, it's too wordy here. We need to define here, pinpoint what your market is. It's a lot of things, you know, that these people can bring to the table and only can help you. So, again, it's not too late. Go to Women's Tackle Football. Well, no. Back up. Go to womensfootballcamp.com and make sure you register. If you haven't registered, then get to registering. If you got one person on the team, I would say, you know, hey, everybody pitch in $25, at least send somebody from your management crew. At least send one player so that we can come back. Because we got the coaches putting together their packets for each position. And basically what you'll be able to do is get a whole packet of drills and skills for quarterbacks through defensive backs, whatever. And you can take that back and share, because that's what it's all about. It's about sharing the information, sharing the wealth. Because, again, your product is an extension of my product, and if your product is good and my product stinks, then guess what? We're going to be labeled as a stinky product. Okay? So, again, what other highlights we got? Like I said, we got India Lee. She's a merchandise manager for the Las Vegas Wranglers Pro Hockey Football Team. Again, you got somebody in here whose job is to buy merchandise and get little trinkets and trackets or whatever, and get people to buy them at the games. I mean, she's going to give you firsthand experience of, you know, some of the deals that she's cut with some of the manufacturers of some of the, you know, shirts, maybe some of the click-clack things, some of the little light bulb things, you know, things that they sell at these games. And maybe you can take those things as ideas and go back and work them into your system. What else? Again, I got four representatives from the WNBA who I'm waiting on confirmation. I should get it by this Thursday on if I get all four. If not, which ones I get to add to the table. And again, I want them to come there to talk about the difficulties of promoting women's sports and women's basketball. And we try to do a comparison. I mean, we have a lot less money than they do, but we have a lot more people on our team that will go out and do the grassroots thing. So, again, we're going to try to tie that in and get that rolling. So, again, Women's Football Camp and Conference is when? January 7th through the 10th, 2010. Where? Las Vegas, Nevada. What location? UNLV. That's University of Nevada, Las Vegas. We'll be out on the football field. Again, we'll be starting up at around 3 p.m. on January 7th, which is a Thursday, and we'll be finished on Sunday by 11 o'clock. And each position is going to get about 12 to 14 hours of concentrated work, be it on the field, in the classroom, wherever. That's how we're putting it out there. So, you divide 14. Let me go ahead and do that real quick. 150 divided by 14. You're looking at spending just $10 an hour, $10.71 an hour on getting the knowledge of being a great manager, a great football player, a great coach. You can't beat that with a baseball bat. So I'm not going to hammer that anymore. I know time is running out. I don't know if I got any callers out there. Any callers out there, I'll give you, a 10-second countdown. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Hey, like I said, you can call in anytime you want. 347-826-7278. If there's some things that you think that I'm controversial on or that I'm not right on, hey, come on down. Come on down. Hey, your voice is just as loud as mine, and let's see what you know that I might not know. And like I said, I'm not one of those old dogs who can't learn new tricks. I love learning new tricks, and learning new things. So if I was wrong or if I was right or whatever, hey, let me know. That's why you can call in at 347-826-7278 each and every Monday. I am here talking about women's football. That's Four Quarters with Coach Lee. That is Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Okay, I know on our next show, we're definitely going to start hammering it out for the camp and conference from next Monday all the way through to the camp. I'll have special guest appearances by every coach that is on here that will be teaching. I will get each guest to come on and talk about what their topic is and just to give you some insight on what you're possibly missing if you don't sign up for the camp and conference. It's some great things going on. And like I said, I think women's football is moving forward. I think women's football is definitely improving, and I'm glad to be a part of that movement. If I got to push the button to help it move, then God darn it, I'm pushing the button because I hate spinning my wheels in mud. What are you doing to make women's football better? Are you a complainer? Are you a meat eater? That's what it's called, meat eater. Those are people who just eat the meat, don't eat the vegetables, don't go out and harvest, don't do anything. They just want to eat. They complain. They don't come to the table with solutions. Who are you? What are you? Are you in that group? I hope not. But anyway, I want you guys to, tune in each and every week, especially over the next 5 weeks. I think we got some great guests coming on. You're really going to get to hear about what this campus conference is all about. We're going to have some more highlights up there from previous camping conferences. I'm hoping that I can get BJ to slide me a couple audios so that we can add that into the show to go over about some of the things that went on last year. And like I said, we're improving. Trust me, this camping conference is going to be 2 times better than the first camping conference. And the first camping conference was just really off the hook. We had the lineup, but we were missing you. That's all. So again, you rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I am about to get up and out of here. Time flies. When you're having fun, time flies. When you're talking about women's football, and time flies when you talk about something so passionate and something that you love so much that it's never enough time to talk. But anyway, you can always reach me again at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. You want to find out what's going on in the Women's Football Camp and Conference, go to womensfootballcamp.com. You can reach me at womensfootballcamp@yahoo.com. I'm all over the place. And if you want to catch me on my personal business cell, hit me up, 702-764-8878, and I am out.